This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
And now, this is the Rich Eisen Show.
We did it!
Banner number 18 has been secured.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Tatum switches to the left hand. Attack to the mid block. Stop and start. And Lively runs it off the window. Scoring the foul.
These last 7 years have been a roller coaster. I had to listen to all that about me. It was worth it.
Today's guest, Dallas Morning News columnist Tim Cowlishaw. Baseball Hall of Famer John Smoltz. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Thrilled to be back right here in this chair after a couple of days off with Suze on a walkabout. I am back and want to thank Jim Jackson and Andrew Siciliano for sitting in this seat. Hopefully you enjoyed everything that you heard from them. I certainly did. And thrilled that you're with us today. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on this program. We got Basketball Hall of Famer John Smoltz joining us in 20 minutes time. One of the best voices on TV and in print as well. Tim Cowlishaw will be joining us from the Dallas Metroplex. Tom Pelissero in hour number three. And you threw out 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program. It is a special day on this show. It's always a special day when we talk about a championship won by one of our teams. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman, dressed like a friggin' leprechaun. How are you, sir? What's going on?
I am great.
Yes,
you are. This is the greatest day of my life.
I bet you it
is. I'm so happy and I'm so excited. And I'm going to keep it under control for most of the show today.
But listen, it is all good in your hood, and congratulations to you and all of Celtics Nation or Celtics Pride or everybody that roots for the Boston Celtics.
Congratulations to Coop at home. I'm sure he'll see this clip later. Congratulations.
He's genuinely jacked.
I'm only going to refer to him as Champ from now on.
You should. That's fine. By the way, fine with me if you do that. Good to see you over there, Jay Felly.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm great, Rich. How are you?
I am doing very well. And, you know, TJ Jefferson is perhaps the exact opposite of the way that you feel, a Philadelphia 76er fan. All I will say is this to you, TJ Jefferson.
Yeah.
One day, I certainly hope that we come on the air the same way that I was able to come on the air after this year's football national championship on this day, like, you know, Chris Brockman. I hope we get to do that for you, sir.
Well, Rich, I've got 17 teams as
is
documented.
You got a lot of
it doesn't look like it's going to happen for any of them anytime soon. So I don't know what to say.
You got a lot of irons in the fire. You got more irons in the fire than any of us.
You would think my percentages would go up because of this, but they don't.
Don't worry about it. We're going to talk about later on why you've got hope.
Do I?
Yes, we are. We're going to talk about that later on, why you have hope.
Yowie wowie.
And there's a lot of special things in store on this program. Let's talk about the Boston Celtics winning it all. You have to make this case for this Boston Celtics team. You have to make this case that they are up there now with what they did this year. They are up there in the rarefied air of many of the Boston Celtics championship teams. There's now 18 banners. Whew. There's now 18 Celtics banners. That is, you know, the most in NBA history, in association history.
But it's only, did you know, it's only the seventh. I looked this up.
It's
my old sports center days. Did you know that of the 18 banners the Celtics have now won and brought home to the Celtics fan base, only the seventh, there's only seven of them. Where they won 60 times in the regular season, a 60-win regular season team, and then won the finals. Only seven of the 18 banners are a 60-win regular season team and hung the banner. And in terms of that, the last team to win 60 wins during a regular season and only lose three times in the playoffs was the 1985-86 Celtics team that won 67 times in the regular season and went 15-3 in the playoffs. And the only reason why they didn't go 16-3 like this team just did is because they were only required to win three times in the first round of those playoffs, and they went 3-0 against the Bulls in 85-86. This Celtics team won 64 times in the regular season and then went 16-3 in the playoffs. I looked it up for the last 10 NBA champions to play a regular season with a full complement of games. We all know the COVID year, and then the year after the COVID year, they played a truncated regular season. Of the last 10 NBA champions prior to this season, the only team won 60 wins in the regular season and then lost three or fewer games in the playoffs was the 2016-2017 Golden State Warriors in Durant's first year there, won 67 times in the regular season and then went 16-1.
Yeah.
In winning the finals.
Yeah, they were dominant.
That's how dominant this team is. Okay? I mean, put it in perspective, because I don't know why these Celtics are viewed as anything less than one of the all-time great dominant teams that we've seen from start to finish. And it's because, I guess, nobody views Tatum or Jaylen Brown as a top five NBA talent for whatever reason, that they're not Curry or they're not LeBron or they're not Anthony Davis, that they're maybe a sum of their parts. Maybe, but you take a look at this team, they just dispatched the Dallas Mavericks with one calf tied behind their back. They didn't even have Porzingis at full strength. They didn't even have him for one of the games. And Porzingis is now holding a trophy.
I love that dude.
He's the first Latvian to ever win the Larry O'Brien, by the way.
And he is maybe the most popular guy on the team with the crowd. Everybody loves him.
And why not? Because what he provides them is another guy who can shoot a three, who can defend the perimeter, and can also block shots underneath the basket. It includes 7-footers. And also a 6'4" guy in Derek White, who is turning himself into a Hall of Fame player. Honestly.
You're not wrong.
This dude does everything. He takes three-point shots that break your back. Mm-hmm. He blocks 7-footers around the rim. Mm-hmm. He runs the floor. He defends the perimeter. And he chips teeth. He face plants, loses a tooth, gets up, dries off the blood, and gets out there and cuts out your heart and shows it to you pumping. And he's not even Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. And he's not Jrue Holiday either, who's one of the best defenders the NBA has.
Who also is now in the Hall of Fame.
The number of times, two-time NBA champ now, the number of times that Luka Doncic or Kyrie Irving could not get a proper shot off because of the switching, because of the full 94 feet defending, because, you know, you could blame some of it on Luka, the pounding of the rock for 10, 12, 15 seconds and then passing it off to somebody who's not free to take a shot because the Celtics are defending. They got smoked. Anybody out there who came into this series because of the way the Mavericks played in the Western Conference Final, thinking that they had the leg up, has complete egg all over their face this very morning. And there were a ton of well-respected people who thought the Mavericks were the better team entering the finals. That's absurd. That's absurd. The Celtics, and this is what championship teams do, and this is what championship playoff runs do to their opponent, exposed every weakness they had. Every weakness. Luka's defense, Luka's conditioning potentially, the lack of another playmaker other than Kyrie or Luka, the fact that they were young underneath the hoop. It was perfection. Perfection. Except they didn't win every game they played this year. I mean, I don't know what else you can say about this team.
And the three games that they did lose, they got blown out. They just had the one stinker where it was like, meh, okay.
It happens. Again, yep, you take a happens. Look at the last 10 NBA champions.
4-1, 4-1, 4-1 in a sweep.
The last 10 NBA champions to play a full regular season. Denver, 53 wins, 16-4 in the playoffs. Golden State, 53 wins, 16-6 in the playoffs before the COVID years. The Raptors, 58 wins, 16-8 in the playoffs. Golden State in 2018. 58 wins, 16-5 in the playoffs. Even the 2014-2015 Golden State Warriors team that began their ascension, 67 regular season wins, 16-5 in the playoffs. That's no slouch. The Spurs, before that, 62 wins in the regular season, 16-7 in the playoffs. The Miami back-to-back championship teams of LeBron, the Heat, they went 16-7 in the playoffs. This is as dominant as it gets. And then I'll tell you this, anybody that's out there, well, if the Nuggets had made it, I don't know, folks. And anybody in the East, too. You got to sit there and you got to take this in. You know, the Knicks, your Sixers, TJ, even if everybody was at full strength, not against the team that looked like that and coached like this. And you got to say this, too. You know, journeys. You talk about journeys. You talk about
climbing the mountaintop.
Journeys, right? You're talking about the journeys for everyone. Let's talk about these journeys. Because Brad Stevens coached this team for 8 years and then said, you know what? It's not working. And he goes to Wick Grusbeck, the owner of the team, who probably didn't like hearing Brad Stevens saying, yeah, I'm not the guy. And it's just like, are you kidding me? Because if I let you go, every other team would think you're the guy. Who's the guy then? Let's go Ime Udoka. Okay, let's hire him, go to the NBA Finals, lose, and then find out some crazy ass was going down.
Rich, that's the only way to describe what went on with Ime, because we still don't know what really happened.
You got to keep it real, Rich, because that's
what
it was.
You're keeping it real.
So that actually just slipped out because that's what it was.
That's what it is. It was.
Some crazy what's going down.
Crazy bleep bleep.
Please tell me you got that.
Yeah,
okay.
I
that's what a couple of days off will do. I was working Italian there. But so that's going down. Then you go to Joe Mazzulla. Who the heck is he?
Right.
And then what they wind
second
up doing.
Guy.
And then Brad Stevens as an executive.
Well, executive of the year this year.
I mean, you know, that
been great.
That trade for Derek White, Romeo Langford, for Derek White, and then to take Marcus Smart, one of the most popular Celtics, ship him out. Jrue Holiday comes in. Porzingis comes in. You sign everybody. And then Jaylen Brown. Talk about a journey as well. This
so
soundbite got me. Jaylen Brown with the trophy next to him, and the trophy is the NBA MVP. I have no problem with him winning this. He did everything. And I know Tatum, by the way, in the closeout game, 31-8-11. 11 assists. Brown had 21-8-6. Together, they're spectacular. But Jaylen Brown, he just does it all. And the fact is, you just got to throw in here, he got signed to the supermaxiest contract in the history of the NBA. And in Boston, that's where you get chewed up and spat out. Because it's like, okay, you're making all this money and you're not doing X, Y, and Z. Yeah. And he does X, Y, and Z and A, B, and C. And everyone else is better around him.
You better win. And that's exactly what he did.
This is what he did. Jaylen Brown afterwards had this to say.
The story and the journey is awesome. You know, just being drafted here in Boston, like a lot of the people probably didn't watch me play up in the Pac-12 at Cal. So, you know, it led to a lot of people, you know, feeling a way about that. And, you know, I just came in and kept my head down and told myself I'm going to just keep working. And you know, to be here in this moment now, through all the years, you know, through all the doubt, through all of the ups and downs, through all of the adversity, through all of the everything, you know, it just makes the story that much sweeter. But I can't even put it into words. Like, it just feels great.
Good for him, man. Good for him.
That side, too. This guy has been through so much just with the media scrutiny. He was involved in every trade. The Celtics can't get over the hump. We got to trade for Durant. Well, we got to trade Brown and somebody else. Every time it was a break up the Jay talk, it was Brown was the guy that was going to be shipped out of town to acquire a new superstar.
And Brad Stevens didn't do that.
Didn't do it. Stuck to the plan. He had belief and confidence in these two guys that their games would work together and they would eventually win a championship. We added Porzingis and Drew Holiday. God, I can't say enough about Drew Holiday. And they're finally champions, and it's so well deserved. I'm so happy and proud of those guys.
And again, some of the best moves are the ones you don't make, and he didn't get rid of Jaylen Brown. Traded Kemba Walker for Al Horford. Al Horford's journey as well.
By the way, who was with the Celtics beginning, went to Philly in free agency, didn't play, looked like his career was over, went to Oklahoma City and just sat on the bench. And Brad was like, we can still use you. You're still valuable. Come back. And he looks like an all-star. Now he's a champ.
And he was on pace to break Karl Malone's record for most playoff games played without a championship. Now that one's out the door. And I mean, it's all working for the Celtics. They have the newfangled superstars in Tatum and Brown and Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis and then Horford, and then they even have the what the Celtics have had forever, which is two white guys who wouldn't start for your team that come off the bench and shoot the threes. They've got, you know,
Hauser.
They've got them all. And Pritchard, who traveled. Listen,
stop.
I can't do that.
Stop.
But listen.
Stop.
It's all working for the Celtics, and you have to wonder who the heck's out there that's going to add anybody to beat them next year if they come back and play like this, because they are young, they are good, and what they are is, if Horford at age 38 is going around rookie centers who have been playing lights out in the playoffs, he's dribbling right around him. So you got to wonder.
And you mentioned, Rich, they're all signed.
How
this whole
stopped.
Team is coming back next year.
Everybody, soup to nuts. Congratulations, Celtics pride. You should be prideful. This is a team that you can root for.
Absolutely.
That they're a bunch of guys that you can root for and should root for, and it's all good in that hood, and congratulations about all that.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Still time to come aboard, TJ.
I cannot believe I dropped a bomb like that. It just slipped out.
Truly the only way to
describe it.
You're
like Peyton Pritchard from 60 feet.
Yeah. I know. I took an extra step or two.
Took a couple steps.
I should have gathered and called it not traveling.
One, two, gather.
Listen.
Come on, guys.
Okay. Bang. Bang. Bang.
Bang!
I'm surprised it took that long for it to happen.
All right. There's the Dallas. There's the Dallas aspect of it. Let's talk about that with Tim Kalashaw next. One of the finest voices in all the land. We'll go around the horn with him, if you will, when he joins us next. And you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Tim Kalashaw, the Dallas Morning News and the worldwide leader in sports, when we come back. This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive.
eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
We're talking about journeys. Let's talk about the journey of none other than Jason Tatum, who's been criticized a lot, including sometimes from this studio.
And this seat over here, for sure.
Hit it.
It's a real feeling. Still hasn't really kicked in yet. Just trying, I guess, enjoy the moment. I kept saying, wow. These last 7 years have been a roller coaster, up and down. I had to listen to all the people said about me. And tonight, it was worth it. Oh, my God. This is at the top of the mountain. To be able to say we did it, that we came together and we won a championship, banner number 18 that's been hanging over our head for so many years, to know that we're going to be engraved in history, and it still hasn't, like, registered. I'm just still trying to process it all. But we did it. We won a championship.
That is correct. Can't confirm. And then the moment that everybody is talking about, boy, you got to love a father-son moment. That's what makes sports movies so great, right?
Absolutely.
Look at this picture of Deuce, his six-year-old boy coming up to him while he was, you know, is leaning over and celebrating in his own head. And afterwards, after he picked him up, look at all that confetti coming down. What a beautiful
crazy
picture to have. That'll be in his office forever. He was asked about this in exchange.
I'm curious to know what you said to Deuce after this, but I guess I'm more curious, what did Deuce say to you?
He told me that I was the best in the world. And I said, you damn right I am.
Love it. And he picked him up, and the kid went off with his arms out like he's flying.
We did it!
So cool. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We started this program talking about the Celtics and their 18th banner and winning 80 games. 80 games this year. Two fewer games than the 85-86 Celtics, considered one of the greatest Celtics teams of all time. And on the other side of the coin is the Dallas Mavericks, obviously, winning a championship in the Western Conference and then winning only one game in the NBA Finals. As always, eyes are cast on star players after performances like that. Luka Doncic had this to say when asked about his Finals appearances.
Tough loss, but you guys really had a great season, and I know it's not easy to think about right now, but just what's going through your head right now?
Nothing. Sad we lost. Not specific.
How much were you hurting?
It doesn't matter if I was hurt. How much was I hurt? I was out there, tried to play, but I didn't do enough.
On this side of things, let's turn to one of the best in the business from the Dallas Morning News and ESPN, Tim Kalishaw, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's been a while, Tim. How are you, sir?
It's been a while. I'm doing well. Good to see you.
Same to you. Same to you. What are your two cents on the subject matter of Luka, Tim?
Well, my first two cents are on Jason Tatum. Why hasn't it sunk in? It sunk into the rest of us. The Celtics were going to win a long time ago. At the very least after game two, but it was kind of funny that his response was still that way a half hour after the game. You know, Luka, three really good games, one horrible game, some questionable defense at times, questionable rating, very questionable ref baiting in game three. That was really the only issue I ever had was him getting fouled out of a game he had no business fouling out in. And that was the key game. If they, that's a competitive game three. And if they win that game, then it's a very different series, because the team that beat Dallas in game one with Porzingis never came back. Porzingis was never going to get to that level again. And we saw last night, he was mostly a liability. So that was a missed opportunity for Luka. Other than that, I think he is playing hurt, and he played very well. I had a lot more issues with Kyrie sounding as if he knew exactly how to deal with the Boston crowd in his interviews, and then having three miserable shooting games in the TD Garden.
So let's follow up on that then. So you feel that Kyrie's fingerprints are on this series loss more than Luka's, Tim?
Well, you know, in a way. Now, I mean, I think most of the fingerprints belong to the Boston Celtics. As you just said, they won 64 games. And while we don't look at them, you know, we don't look at them as that Bird, Parrish, McHale team, but teams aren't built like that. They don't play like that. They don't have 2 7-footers playing, you know, in the low post anymore. If you look at the way the Warriors looked when they were great and winning 4 titles, this Celtics team to me looks a lot like that. They play great defense on the perimeter and they shoot threes, and that's the modern game. As far as the Mavericks could have been a little more competitive, yeah, I would look at Kyrie's 3 games in Boston, 18 for 53, I believe. Didn't make a three at all until last night in Boston, and just, you know, really played much different from that at home. So clearly the crowd did get to him, and that bothered him. Yeah, I would say he was farther from his peak than Luka was in this series.
Well, in terms of Luka, Tim Kalishaw here on the Rich Eisen Show, the criticism of Luka, the significant, I saw also, to be very honest with you, well thought out and delivered comments by, you know, our colleague Brian Windhorst, yours at ESPN,
right,
to Scott Van Pelt after the game three loss and being, you know, being castigated by Windhorst. I'll ask you what your thoughts on that are.
Well, I didn't think Brian was wrong, and he was mostly talking about the fouling out and the kind of petulant attitude that hits Luka every now and then, and it hits him especially in home games. You don't see it as much on the road. If you look at his road playoff performances, they were mostly pretty great at home. And I've thought this for years, and I've written this, that, you know, Mark Cuban standing 5 feet from the bench screaming at the refs for 2 hours, I think it gets in a lot of people's heads, and it gets in Luka's head, and he just joins that chorus. And for whatever reason, in game three, he couldn't get out. You know, everybody knows you're not getting the foul calls going to the basket in the playoffs that you're going to get in the regular season. They don't want these games to be, you know, 30 free throws per team. So it's very hard to get those foul calls. Luka still gets more than most, but when he doesn't get them, when he didn't get them in that game, he got very frustrated. And yeah, he fouled his way out with 4 minutes to go in a very winnable game. That's a huge misstep on his part. I think he learned from that. I think he will learn from that in the future. I think he mostly does all he can for this team to win. But they also have a thing. He plays slow. Kyrie plays fast. This team has to figure out what it wants to be. Jason Kidd talked a lot about we slow down too much. And they slow down when Luka has the ball. So they've got some things to iron out for a team that mostly had a great playoff run and won three series. They started on the road, got to a finals nobody really thought they would get to. So it ends badly. But no, what Brian said about Luka for that night, I think was entirely correct.
So then who's the individual or individuals in that locker room, coaching staff, front office, who might be able to reach Luka to deliver some sort of a message postseason to figure out how to maybe come back next year? Tim?
Yeah, I can just tell you that I know Luka likes Jason Kidd and Kyrie likes Jason Kidd. And I think he talks to them individually a little differently than he talks to the public and in the media. When Kidd says something to us, it's pretty carefully worded. But if you go back and look at what he said throughout this playoffs, Luka has to know he's going to be a target. He has to play harder at the defensive end and not expect to carry the offense entirely. That's what he said after game three. Before game five, he said we can't get into those periods where we play slow. We got to play with pace. And that's directed at Luka. So, I mean, I think Luka gets all that. I think he feels that sometimes he's the only one targeted because there isn't a lot of criticism of anybody else except a little bit of Kyrie now for his play in this series. But I think he gets it. And, you know, most of the time he doesn't act the way he did in game three. He can't do it in a big playoff game again. It's nonsense to foul out that way.
Well, I guess looking back, Michael Finley should have let him have the beer, right, Tim? Think about it.
Yeah. maybe that would have changed things. Maybe that would have helped.
Well, what was that moment, though? I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but, you know, Finley going up to him when he's having a beer after cracking one open with his dad after the Western Conference Finals, he just shook his hand and took it out and walked away.
I don't know if Tim. I don't know if he didn't want it on camera. I don't know if he thought they had practice the next morning to get ready for Boston. You know, when Luka came here, he was not for about a year and a half. He wasn't drinking age, so maybe Finley forgot that he's 25 now and he's he's allowed to do those sorts of things. He was a kid when he got here.
Dallas Morning News is Tim Kalishaw, as well as ESPN's Tim Kalishaw here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so a great season for the Stars. And I'd say you can call this, obviously, a great season for the Mavericks. But sure. They fall shy of bringing a parade to the Metroplex. That now falls into the lap of the Dallas Cowboys for the rest of this calendar year. Tim, what are your thoughts on the possibilities of that?
Are you sure we just don't go back around to the Rangers and skip the Cowboys? It doesn't look like it's going to be the Rangers. I'll admit, they had a catcher pitching against the Mets in the ninth inning last night of a 14-2 game.
I guess I should not have skipped the defending World Series champs.
You're
Tim.
Saying there's not going to be a repeat for a team.
It's tougher. It's
33
tough.
And 39.
I don't know. Yeah, I'll just throw that out there at the moment. Yeah. But stranger things have happened post All-Star break. I understand.
But the real question to your point is, Rangers won a title. Mavs and Stars have been to conference finals, two each the last two or three years. Cowboys, it's been 28 years since that NFC championship trip. You know, I've been a columnist for 26 years. Mm. And I said, maybe I'll do this long enough to cover an NFC championship game that has the Cowboys in it. I don't know. I may not make it that far. I wouldn't predict it this year. They don't seem like a team that is all in or that has rebuilt their roster in any way to get better. They're going to depend on other teams' mishaps, Philadelphia continuing to flounder, although I think Philadelphia at least showed after their season they were serious about what went wrong. Changed both coordinators, seemed to have a pretty great draft, seemed to make good moves. Cowboys seem to pretend like going 12-5 is all that matters, and they think they're going to continue to do it without adding pieces other than the draft. So I think it's very, very tough. On top of all that, you've got the situation. CeeDee Lamb needs a contract. Dak needs a contract. Micah Parsons is a year away from needing a contract. Mike McCarthy needs a contract. That's a lot of people to be on the line when you haven't really added to the depth chart.
Well, I guess that's the sense of all in, right? And that we keep we keep referring to all in because that's what Jerry said at the Senior Bowl, for crying out loud, back in January. And this general sense of that meant all in, which is we are going to pull out any possible stop, free agency and things of that nature to make some moves to supplement a roster that they think is championship worthy and get rid of some guys and bring in other guys who get the sense of what it means to be a Cowboy to win a championship. But his all in definition was we believe the people that we have built for last year are going to be the guys for this year, and we're going to go all in on these guys, and they are going to have to prove it 1 year to stay, to get more years. And I've never really heard of an all-in definition like that. To me, Tim, one of the stories of the 2024 NFL season is going to be the way that the Jones family, or Jerry in particular, handled being one and done by the Green Bay Packers. That's it.
And it was a shocking one and done, with Green Bay having 48 points with, 12 minutes to go. And best scenario, you have two draft pick offensive linemen starting. That's without any injuries. That's right away not a good sign. You don't have Tony Pollard. I don't have any understanding what the Zeke thing is all about. He can't possibly be a featured back, and I'm not sure he can be anything significantly helpful. But we'll see about that. They didn't go out and they went out and got Eric Kendricks. Mike Zimmer brought in Eric Kendricks, who didn't seem to really like Mike Zimmer at the end of his time in Minnesota. So that's an interesting mix. That's their free agency haul. So unless they had the greatest draft of the last 10 years, I have a hard time seeing how this team is better than Detroit and better even than Philadelphia, and certainly not better than San Francisco, and how they've got Green Bay and all the other teams in the NFC that seem to be moving on.
So what's your opinion of Dak before I let you go, Tim? I mean, you've seen Cowboy quarterbacks come and go, and you know having the star on the side of your helmet to be the quarterback in the National Football League takes a special individual. What's your two cents on him?
He's reached the point where his career is now oddly not that different from Tony Romo's, in terms of one was a free agent completely, one was a late fourth round pick. Both play better most of the time. Both are top 10 quarterbacks most of the time, rarely top 5 or 6 or 7. And both have playoff failings that they can't get past. Although, you know, I think Romo in the Green Bay and the Dez Cotton game was closer to getting the job done than Dak has come in any of the playoff games so far. So the playoff thing is going to hang over him the way it hangs over Mike McCarthy. They're both – well, Mike McCarthy's here specifically for that. Jason Garrett could get him to a certain level, but 9.5 years of that was plenty. You know, Dak will get another huge contract here, and fans will – half the fans will shake their heads at it, and half of them will say it's well-deserved. But at some point, you got to beat San Francisco, or you got to beat another – West Coast offense team. You got to beat Green Bay. You got to beat somebody from that whole Shanahan tree that they can't beat in the playoffs. They've lost to McVay. They've lost to Shanahan twice. They've lost to LaFleur. They got to beat one of those guys, and maybe two of those guys, or Detroit, and get somewhere. Otherwise, it's his Dak's career won't be viewed really any differently from Romo's.
So then answer this question for me as I send you off onto your Tuesday, Tim. If you think that Dak's going to get the contract, I think he's going to get the contract.
Yes.
Then why not give him the contract before the Jaguars give $55 million a year to Trevor Lawrence? Why not do it before Tua gets whatever he might get from the Dolphins? Can you give me any sense of, having covered the Jones family for a quarter century, why this happens, Tim?
None. Absolutely none. Other than their stated objective, which they've done at different times with Zeke and earlier times with Dak, of they don't want to set the market. Well, so you let the market run over you constantly. And they've done it with CeeDee Lamb, too. I mean, he's not going to take less than $35 million a year. Dak's not going to – certainly not going to take less than Trevor Lawrence is getting. And now they're doing it. It didn't really matter when they did that with Zeke, when he had the holdout in 2019, I guess that would be, because running back money is at a much, much lower level. So you overpay a running back, that doesn't really hurt you. Now you're getting to quarterback and wide receiver, and you're getting into the, it's going to cost you at least $85 million a year for these two players, and probably more than that. in some seasons. And how do you exactly do that when you're trying to pay Parsons and some of the other players? They have to play. I don't know. They weren't in this position of always being late to the trough, so to speak, that they have gotten into in the last 3 or 4 years. So I don't know if this is strictly a Steven thing. I don't think it would be. Jerry's pretty involved in all that. It's just something they've let happen, and they haven't been able to figure out. Also, because of the agents they're dealing with, they haven't been able to figure out a way around it.
Tim, really appreciate the time, as always, and the knowledge. Great catching up
with you. Thank you, sir. Good talk.
It's been too
long.
See
you again soon.
See you again soon. I'll call you after they sign Dak. How does that sound?
That won't be soon. That'll be a good time for the next show.
I don't know. Maybe in August. You never know. But if you're
out.
It
could be.
Do you come out here to Oxnard? Do you make a trip out here?
I normally do. I've covered enough Stars and Mavs playoffs. You know, they haven't looked at my expenses from Boston from games 1 and 2. Once they do that, that may impinge on my abilities to get to Oxnard, but I'm normally there.
Well, I'd love to see you. So I hope you didn't put the Screaming Eagle on the Dallas Morning News tab.
Yeah, no, that's probably not going to happen.
All right, Tim. Thanks again. Appreciate the time.
All right. Take care.
At Tim Kalashaw on Twitter. Follow him. I do. That's right here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Honestly. All right.
Dak should honestly ask for $75 million a year after Trevor Lawrence.
If Trevor Lawrence gets $55 million a year, and we'll talk about my 2 cents on that subject matter that happened when I was out of the chair last week in hour number two. If Trevor Lawrence gets 55 and Tua's going to get in that neighborhood, and I know how you feel about that, and that's the way this is going, Dak's going to get the first $60 million deal.
Dak is so much better than both those guys.
And
less pie.
And so I don't know why you wait. I certainly don't understand it. And I won't. And Tim Kalashaw, who's been covering the team for a quarter century, ask him. He's like, your guess is as good as mine. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Why TJ Jefferson should have hope to join us. In the parade party. I had one college, you had one pro. What about TJ? Yeah. That's still to come on this program. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Don't go anywhere. Back with more in a moment.
Help.
Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What was it like picking this trophy up for the first time?
It was the greatest thing. And it really was, Rich. It really was.
Do you remember the circumstances?
Oh, my God, man. First of all, you got to go back and think about, like, we were 1-15. We were 3-13, 1-15. When you're 3-13 and 1-15 Cleveland Browns, I know you don't think there's any chance that you would ever lay a hold of something like this. So to go from those days to coming in 92 and winning that Super Bowl and actually somebody handing you that trophy, the most incredible thing, most incredible feeling in the world.
Did you ever
step in when you heard that Jimmy and Jerry were not doing well, or you just your station wasn't that in life at that point in time?
I just didn't think anything would happen, Rich. I really didn't. I was like, are you joking? You know how hard it is to win Super Bowls, and you have a formula that's working. And Jerry Jones, I'm telling you, that's the one thing. I'll never forget Jerry Jones telling me that when I was negotiating with him. And I was saying, you know, I'll go to Cincinnati. And it was just, I'm just talking, trying to get my monies up. I said, I'll go to Cincinnati. You can get Carl Pickens over here, and let's see what happens. And Jerry said, Michael, you know, when I see you, I see Michael Irvin and the Dallas Cowboys. He said, I kind of see it like Magic Johnson in the Lakers. He said, what is Magic without the Lakers? And what are the Lakers without the Magic? He said, you guys, they belong together, just like you and the Cowboys. He said, Michael, the best way I can tell you, if a bomb hit Valley Ranch today, that's where we practice, and blew everything up, everybody, everything, when the smoke clears, baby, me and you, we going to still be here. So we might as well work this deal out right now. So,
that's what he said to you?
I promise you. I said, this dude is a fool. He had me laughing as he was telling me no about my money.
That's why you're in the Hall of Fame together. Love Michael Irvin. Love, love, love him. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Fire the grill and fire up the party, everybody. Fill it up with the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You'll cook on two levels at the same time so you can make enough for everybody. You can add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. So, I got to tell you, I've been dining off Michigan winning the national championship in college football for the first time in my life. Completely, ours, lock, stock, and barrel. They didn't get half of it to Tom Osborne as a gold watch retirement gift. I've been loving it. As a matter of fact, when I go to the Hall of Fame jacket ceremony dinner, which I was officially invited to host, just last week.
Oh, yes. Congrats.
I was heading to the airport last
Welcome
week, got
back.
The call. And I'm like, you're aware. You are aware.
Hey, you are aware.
I went full Penske file by, and they're like, yep, no, we know. I didn't have to finish the sentence. Joe Horrigan's like, oh, we know.
We get it.
I'm like, you know.
This is what I do.
Things might get a little out of hand if somebody OHs me, okay?
And we now know you're not afraid to work blue in front of the mic either.
So. Go blue. I'll work go blue there, if necessary. You, Christopher, Banner 18. It's been a while. Everybody keeps mentioning, you know, it's the 18th banner of the Boston Celtics, as if you've been water skiing behind yachts the last few, decade plus.
For me personally, it's the 14th title since 2001.
Okay. Oh,
God.
Careful. He's teetering right on the edge of mass holishness, but we'll discuss that later, I think. You, TJ?
Yeah.
We got to get you one. Yeah. Into a Dome's opening up. Clippers going to be excited about that, right? Well, as a matter of fact, you've got how many teams? Well, how many teams are on his meme that we put together?
There's a lot.
Got a lot of pennants up there.
You know what I mean?
A lot of pennants. The question is which one of the pennants will lead to a banner?
Like Stain said, it's been a while. I put the ball in play.
Which one is most likely to lead to a banner out of all the pennants? Which one would you guess? Is it Dallas Cowboys?
No.
Is it the Sixers?
No. I mean, maybe the Pittsburgh Penguins at this point might
you
be
think
my
so?
Only chance.
I don't know. Why not the Cowboys?
Well, I've got...
They've been your best team the last 3 years.
I've got 28 years of data and research that would lead me to believe not going to be...
I want a serious answer out of you.
I'm dead serious.
That the Dallas Cowboys, out of everybody, don't you think...
No.
...that we could get one out of them this year out of everybody else?
No.
Seriously.
The Mets are not close.
Hold on a second. Excuse me, sir.
Hold on.
Excuse me, sir. When the New York Mets this year...
We're counting June wins?
Excuse me. When the New York Mets this year, just a few short days ago, were wondering, how can we turn this season around? How can we possibly find some footing in a season where Gary Cohn comes on the air And he keeps on saying over and over and over again about how miserable things are. And look at that, you know, just when you think things are rock bottom, he's been trying to use his smile as an umbrella, him and Keith Hernandez and Ron Darling, and think maybe going to London can help spark things. The answer is no. The New York Mets have found their savior. And his name is Grimace. Ever since this purple blob was given a big, huge glove and the mound that New York Metropolitan fans have always hoped would have a savior pitching their way, like Dwight Gooden, to come and get things done. Ever since the Mets decided, for some reason, let's give Grimace a ceremonial first pitch, they're 6-0.
Six.
Currently, right now.
And oh.
Longest win streak in Major League Baseball.
Come on, baby.
Hold on a second.
Come on,
and
let's
look
go.
At this and a wild card playoff picture.
Oh, daddy.
The Mets, with their 6 wins in a row, are 3 games under 500. Grimace. And in this crazy mosh pit called the National League wild card picture, that's just a game out.
And if you take out their 0-5 start, hey.
You can't take that out.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you could, that
they're
be
just
great.
One game out.
Grimace.
Okay. At this point in time, they should go get the Hamburglar. They should go into McDonald's land right now and get every last one. Mayor McCheese should get a first pitch shortly.
Mayor McCheese.
Yes. Ronald, Mayor McCheese, the Hamburglar.
We're going to ride this Grimace train till the wheels fall off.
Now, you need to know, sir, as you have some sort of Grimace creature on your desk. Yeah. Do you even know what Grimace is? Do you know what Grimace is?
Like I found them in the Happy Meal back in the day.
I will tell you.
The fries in?
I Googled this.
What is Grimace?
What is Grimace?
A grape?
It's a face you make when you hit your knee on the table?
No.
Oh.
No.
Lakers fans everywhere this morning?
Hold on a minute. What's this guy's name?
It's a facial expression.
A manager of a McDonald's. His name is Brian Bates. A manager of a McDonald's in Canada. Told CBC News, Grimace, quote unquote, is an enormous taste bud, but a taste bud nonetheless. Taste bud. That's a guy who's a manager of McDonald's in Canada. And I take his word for it because I read it on people.com, where things are accurately reported, including Susie and I building a sports empire together. That's what people said about us. So we found the greatest Mets bud since Harrelson. His name is Grimace. And he's going to lead TJ to the Canyon of Heroes. And he's going to have a Big Mac. And he's going to have the whole damn thing. A Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
As we take this around the world.
Yeah.
How's that for feeling better? TJ, your Mets have won 6 in a row since Grimace threw out a first pitch.
Look, we still ain't winning the World Series this year, though.
Biggest, by the way, biggest pregame head-scratcher delivered by the Mets promotional staff since, for some reason, having the Baja Men sing Who Let the Dogs Out before a World Series Subway Series game against the Yankees in the year 2000.
happened. They were very hot.
Man. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Who let the dogs out?
I mean, that's the height of their power.
I believe that was prior to the only game the Mets won in that World Series. We found out who let the dogs out. It was in Shea Stadium.
They were very hot back then.
So to answer your initial question.
Like the Mets. None of those teams. How hot they were. Like the current Mets.
6-0. Let's go.
Did I miss any other McDonald's lands characters? Who else can we get?
I mean, the Hamburglar is kind Hamburglar, of the famous
Mayor one. Hamburglar, McCheese. So. They could steal a win on that night.
I mean, Ronald himself could come.
Of course.
Big Moon guy.
Oh, yeah. Moon face guy.
Mac.
Big. That was Mac tonight.
Mac tonight.
Wow. Let's get him. Let's keep it going, TJ. You guys have got yourself. You're on a heater right now.
We are, man. And thanks to Grimace.
Who knew Grimace was a slump buster? We're finding stuff out. Can't wait to talk about this with John Smoltz next hour.
Officer Big Mac.
Look, all it takes is that one thing to switch everything, man.
The New York Mets behind Grimace.
By the way, someone on eBay is selling one of these. They put them in Happy Meals about 2 years ago. Selling one for $15,000.
Wait, what? Is
Why has he got four eyes?
Wait, what?
Yeah, it was like a Cactus Jack flea market thing that McDonald's did. Trust me, no one's paying that much, but I know someone is selling them.
Someone's just offering
it. We got to add a new banner to TJ's meme. We could fit. Can we fit Grimace up in the top right?
Yeah.
Can we add Grimace?
Let's not, because then we put Grimace up and then we end up losing today.
Or put Grimace's face over Mr. Met.
Yeah, just right under the Met pennant.
No, hold up. You don't ever disrespect Mr. Met.
Right under the Met pennant. There's a little white gap right there.
Okay, is that?
I think that's wearing a Grimace beanie.
I don't even want that.
Oh, we should put Grimace on his beanie.
Yeah.
My beard. Purple. Okay.
That was the day when my beard wasn't looking proper. By the way,
there's room for rent there, that's for sure. Your name here.
Your name here.
Let's put Grimace right there on your beanie.
Until we lose, sure. And then you got to go.
Wait, who are you guys playing tonight?
Who are you playing tonight?
I don't even know tonight.
At the Rangers.
Okay. At the Rangers. Here we go. Okay.
It's your boy, Luis Severino, on the mound.
That's it.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Former Yankee, Luis Severino.
Crushing it right now.
That's right. Louie never saw Grimace throw out a first pitch for the Yankees.
And that's why he never won.
What is happening?
What do you mean that's why he never won?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Never mind.
Mets are just a game out, 3 under .500, just a game out of the playoff picture with 19 other teams. Every other team in that wild card race is like, which McDonald's line figure can we get to throw the first pitch?
Unlocked, baby.
How is that a taste bud?
Hey guys, welcome to the Candy Valentino Show. I'm Candy Valentino. I was a founder before I could legally order a drink. And for more than 2.5 decades, I've built, scaled, acquired, and exited multiple businesses in diverse industries. Now my goal is to help you by sharing the knowledge that I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and the wisdom that I've developed over my journey. Bi-weekly episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Candy Valentino Show, wherever you listen.